Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. We're talking with Katie Spade from Siciliano's Market. It's all about microbrewed beer, baby. Well, maybe not microbrewed, but maybe not your national brand. Go with that, right?
I would say you were right the first time, and they are all microbrews.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, I just don't want to be too redundant, but that Lansing Brewing Company, Katie, that porter,
it's
beautiful.
Fantastic.
What's it called again?
Velvet Villain.
Velvet Villain. There. Yeah. Put that on your list. If you want to buy somebody a really cool, fancy beer, because that's something that a lot of folks are never going to see and know and buy. And even at your store, it's only $1.99 a can.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like a killer deal.
You know, we didn't talk about that, but that is, I think, one of the best things that Siciliano's has going is every beer is priced by the can.
What a bunch of work.
Yeah.
you get used to it.
But the beauty of it is you create your own 6, 12, case, whatever. You can mix and match. You don't have to buy it in predetermined quantities. And when you're doing what we're doing right now and trying 4 or 5 things, it's easy. You get one or maybe two.
And some of the time when I go in there, I actually do that. Very often I'm so conditioned to buying 4-packs and 6-packs that I leave them that way.
Right.
But sometimes I'll just make up a 6. 2, 2, 2.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is generally how you want to do it.
Yeah. Good math.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Katie, we've touched upon, we bounced around a lot of different beers, but let's talk about briefly about some of the characteristics of each of the various styles. And when we get to this, is it a stout we've got next? We'll stop and have a little taste of that.
Okay.
But start out on the lighter end of beer for the person that's maybe not too knowledgeable about it, and all the way the styles till we get up to that stout.
So your lighter styles are going to be things like lagers, pilsners, cream ales, blonde ales. They're pretty much low on everything. So low malt character, low hop character, pretty much your like standard boat crusher beers, you know.
Okay.
Have them in the summertime, have a bunch. After that, kind of your mid-range, I'd say, would be pales, ambers, brown ales. They're going to have a little bit more malt, and so pales are going to lean a little bit more towards the hoppy side, more hop flavor than bitterness, where brown ales and ambers, they're going to be definitely more on the malty side, but still just kind of medium weight, 4, 5, 6% alcohol content, nothing crazy. After that, it kind of splits a little bit, so you've got things like IPAs, you're very hoppy, potentially bitter, you know, big old hop-forward beers. And then it kind of splits the other way with very, very malty beers. So imperial stouts, old ales, things that are definitely have hop bitterness, but the malts are the features.
Right.
Yep.
And so these New England IPAs, where do they fall?
Oh, man, they're kind of an oddball. So somewhere between pale ale and IPA, I'd say.
Okay.
Because they are just... That was a nice pop. They are not as bitter as a standard IPA is.
Right.
But they have more overall hop flavor than a pale ale.
Yeah, we have a great brewery here in Michigan, Old Nation, that creates one that's called M43, right?
Yep.
A little bit pricey.
It is.
You know, you're pushing $5 a can, but they're 16 ounces. But I've fallen in love with that beer. If you ask me what my favorite beer is, it's in that category right there.
M43. So,
yeah.
Well, the New England IPAs. We stopped at a local brewery that I live by, and I brought a growler over to Bob's this week.
Gravel Bottom.
Yeah, when he invited me over for dinner, right? I can't come empty-handed. But anyway, so that'd be my sweet spot. Anything north of that or south, a little too light, anything, you know, we're going to try what now, a porter?
Imperial stout.
Imperial stout. I interrupted you. So then,
and I'm going to interrupt you. So just in case you happen to own a Bell and Howell Tack Light, as you just heard, it'll actually open a beer as
right.
well.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'd like to go back to the pricing real quick.
Okay.
So you mentioned that the New England style IPAs are kind of pricey, $4 or $5 a can. But the reason is they have 3 to 4 times as many hops in them.
Oh, okay.
As a standard beer would have.
Oh, yeah.
And they're usually...
They dry hop the heck out of it.
They do. And they're usually either in-demand hops or import hops. So the price on
pricey
the hops themselves are more expensive as well. So.
And that's a really cool thing that's probably a little too inside baseball for most people, but that is a great point because these brewers all have to buy these supplies and, oh, gosh, you know, I need some barley. Well, that's easy to get barley. you know, even though there was a shortage five years ago.
There was, yeah.
But then they say, I need hops. Well, gosh, there's hops all over the place. But guess what? We don't want Cascade hops anymore.
Oh, no.
Now that there's 800 acres of Cascade hops in Michigan. New wheat. That's right.
And there's still hops that are under, like, copyright.
So there's Citra and Galaxy.
There are certain ones that can only be grown by certain, you know, farmers in certain regions of the world. They have, you know, the market on it. So they get to set the price on it, too.
Right. They're hop snobs.
Well, they weren't just beer drinkers. They're business guys. What do you know?
How about that?
Yeah. Well, before the barley shortage 5 years ago, 12 years ago, there was a hop crisis, straight-up crisis, where I think 75% of the global crop got decimated. So it changed the industry dramatically after that. And once the amount of hops rebounded, the price, unfortunately, went way up, too.
And that's when Randy got his name, Hoppy Jockey.
Right, yeah. Another failed business I tried. No, I had nothing to do with that.
So we lost a brewer, too, one of our old sponsors.
Unfortunately, yeah, Arcadia closed their doors a couple weeks ago.
That's sad.
I think they announced on Tuesday that they were closing on Wednesday, and remodels were going to start in the building on Thursday. Like,
yeah, my buddy, an old friend of mine, bought that place.
Yeah, so
I know what's going on there, and it's. I hope he knows what he's got. I don't think he does, but he's got the money, so he owns it now.
Yep.
Anyway. This that we're trying right here is just a really cool black chocolate stout. Russian Imperial Stout. I don't know. I loved Russian history as a kid, and I wonder if those Russians actually ever had anything this good.
I don't know. So this is definitely, well, an American take on it because it was made in Brooklyn, New York.
Maybe pre-revolution they might have.
Possibly.
But I guarantee you the commies never got their hands on it.
I'm sure nothing this good, yeah. So, yeah, this is Brooklyn Brewing Company. This is 10%. And if you drink it with, like, the smoothness on it, it's got a little heat on the back. It's definitely very rich, but...
But this is a big brewery, actually. I've had other beers from Brooklyn Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what. But.
They've been around for a really long time, and unfortunately they have struggled in Michigan's market. Because, again, we're so local first. Yeah, any out-of-state brewery does. But this has not been available in Michigan for 2 years. We are super excited to see it back at the store. Like, the whole staff kind of freaked out and bought some the first day.
Nice.
So.
Well, it's got a wonderful taste. It's not chalky. It's not too thick like some Russian Imperials. And I happen to love Russian Imperials.
Yep.
I've got a friend that's all he drinks. Oof. So he can have one beer a night, and that's what he gets. I think his wife put him on a ration to keep him a real man.
It's time for some man law. Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Man law I found in a weird place, so it's kind of strange, but it does pose a question that I think is totally legit. Hunting with a friend this fall in a non-disclosed location, dog on point, beeper, his cell phone rings, and he has to take the call. It's Chrysler, and they want to do a survey about his new truck. He takes the survey.
And leaves a doggone point with the beeper going, are you hunting or are you answering your phone?
Can you imagine that?
Dude, there is a time to relax and check the phone off. I did that this last weekend when I was in the Eastern UP. I got over the bridge. I lost phone signal. I was elated.
Okay,
right?
I read this wrong. NLP means Northern Lower Peninsula.
That's right. Yeah, this is a Michigan place, man. And but does he lose his man card? Hell yes.
Yeah,
it's gone because you don't
and
put your dog through
that. And maybe get slapped in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And no Russian Imperial Stout. Katie, cut him off.
Right. But anyway, no, I have dogs, right? And I'm a bird hunting guy. You don't do that to your dog. That's why he's there.
Well,
you're in the moment that you're there for a reason.
How stupid is the guy? You should take his gun away first.
Right.
Forget the man card. Take his gun away
because
the guy's going to trip and
swallow
the barrel on the
way
back
to the
truck.
While you're hunting. Leave your
phone
in the truck.
Why is your phone in your pocket?
Right. I could see maybe we're using the GPS, but not taking calls.
Yeah,
no,
whatever.
I'm sorry. That lit a fire under me. That ain't right.
Okay. I don't think we have any time for St. Louis ribs, so
we'll cover them
in the next segment. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about some St. Louis ribs.
All right.
Stick with us.
We'll be back.